driving toward Gillette on Route 59 north of Bill, Wyoming, Tom Carson felt alien in the rolling landscape. He'd never been anywhere very much until he moved to Wyoming. Lived all his life in paradise, and his parents, too. He hadn't gone to college. He joined the cops after working 3 years for his father. The complete townie, he'd married a girl from his high school class and lived with her in a house his parents helped him buy near Hawthorne Park on the hill above the harbor. Now he was marooned here, vastly alone with his family, in an emptiness of grass and rolling hills over which the huge blank sky hovered comfortless. He'd been proud to be a policeman, proud of the right to carry a gun. He had taken courses in criminal justice at Northeastern University in the evening, and he had practiced regularly at the pistol range in case he ever had to use the gun, which he hadn't. He wasn't spectacular, maybe, but he hadn't done anything wrong either, and when he was appointed chief, he felt it an achievement which he had earned. He wasn't much with budgets and finance, but Lou Burke was able to take care of that end of things for him, and he got along well with the men in the department. The townspeople liked him. He was genial and non-threatening, and he looked pretty good in dress uniform at the Memorial Day parade. Now that was over. His wife was neither understanding nor forgiving of the move to Wyoming. His children went miserably to a regional grammar school with the children of plainsmen and miners. He could not explain to any of them why they were here, and they badgered him angrily about it nearly all the time. He was ashamed to have been sent away, ashamed that he hadn't stood firm and seen justice done. Often he thought of going to the FBI office in Cheyenne. It was the closest one. He'd looked it up in the phone book, but he was afraid to. Afraid for his wife and children, and he had to admit it, afraid for himself. But every day here became more bitter. He hadn't found a job yet in this wilderness, and he was running out of the money they gave him. He didn't dare ask them for more. There was something about the steeliness in Hasty's prissy eyes, but he couldn't go on like this. His family miserable, all of them lonely, himself frightened in addition. He spoke aloud in the cab of the new Dodge pickup they'd provided. "Sooner or later," he said. "Sooner or damned later." He drove on toward Gillette, alone in the big prairie, no one else in sight on the narrow road. The only other car, a maroon Buick behind him, had turned off at Bill. He felt exhilarated by the thought that he might do something to change things. As long as he could think about it without actually doing it, he felt excited and possible. In fact, he was feeling as good as he was able to feel in his exile when the Dodge exploded beneath him. The hood of the truck and part of the dashboard and some bits of Tom Carson went 100 feet in the air and landed 30 yards from the roadway, sending 2 mule deer into a terrified run. The remainder of the truck and of Tom Carson was an impenetrable ball of flame in the empty roadway that burned unobserved as the deer, their white tails flashing, disappeared over the hill crest.